Welcome to the Vision Church Podcast. We're so thankful that you're taking some time today to listen. We pray that this week's message challenges you to press in deeper with your pursuit of Christ. Our mission at Vision Church is to go and make disciples. You can help us in this mission by rating this podcast and sharing it with the world via social media. We want to reach the lost by raising up the found. Thank you again for tuning in today and enjoy the message.
Well, good morning, Vision family. We doing all right? All right. Hey, if you got your Bibles, could you turn to John chapter 10? We're going to be reading verses 1 through 10. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters the door by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will not by no means follow a voice of a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. So Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come to steal, but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and that you may have it more abundantly. And Jesus, in these verses, describes himself as a shepherd, a good shepherd, who promises that he will lead his sheep to eternal salvation and an abundant life. I'm here to remind us today that Jesus' promise has not changed. Life and life more abundantly is still the destiny of all those who would hear his voice and follow him. Mistakenly, however, it has been purported and preached by many that abundant life is more or less an ever-increasing amount of material prosperity, carefree life, no suffering, no hardship, that if you've just followed Jesus, everything's going to be sunshine and rainbows. Well, I hate to be the one to have to tell you, but that's not it. But here is the extremely good news. The abundant life that Jesus is promising all of us is so much better than that. Amen. The abundant life goes far beyond a life of pleasure to a life of purpose and significance. Make no mistake about it, it is 100% guaranteed that if we will follow Jesus' voice, we will have life and life more abundantly. But just what is this that the abundant life represents? One word that we could use to describe it that would help us maybe wrap our minds around what Jesus is saying is the word extraordinary. I don't know how you came in here today and what prospects you may have for your life, but I want to tell each one of you that the promise that Jesus has for you is that he has a plan and a purpose for your life that is nothing less than extraordinary. It's a life that is triumphant in every season and fruitful in every circumstance. The word Jesus uses here for this, back up a minute here, sorry about that. The word that Jesus uses here in the Greek that gives us a real full definition of what he's saying is the word persis. It's a sense of beyond, abundant, superabundant in quantity and superior in quality. Abundant in what? In fruit, in significance, in impact, in reward. That your life would have such a quality about it that it could only be described as extraordinary. so extraordinary that everyone who witnesses it, that the only explanation that could be it is that the hand of God and the power of God is working in your life. But I need to be completely straight with you. I'm not going to try to give you the idea that this abundant life, that this extraordinary life is the easy way. That following Jesus is the easy way. That if you will follow him, all things will work out according to our plans and our purposes. That we will even understand or appreciate the path that God leads us on. But what I do want to promise you today is that every yes that we will say to Jesus, regardless of where it leads us or what it cost us, your yes to Jesus will never be wasted. It will always be worth it. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, and he says in verse 57, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." I want to look at a scripture that Paul gives us that helps paint us a picture of what the abundant life can look like. And while it may not look glamorous at first blush, I think as we unpack it, we will see the absolute glory that is in it. Philippians 1, verses 12 through 18. "And I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me has helped to spread the good news. For everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I am in chains because of Christ. And because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear. It's true that some are preaching Christ out of jealousy and rivalry, but others preach Christ with pure motives. They preach because they love me, for they know that I have been appointed to defend the good news. Those others do not have pure motives as they preach about Christ. They preach with selfish ambition, not sincerely. But that, listen to what he says, but that doesn't matter. Christ is being preached either way, so I rejoice and I will continue to rejoice." Paul says some amazing things here. He says, "I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me has happened to help spread the gospel." We have to stop here and look for a minute and see what is it exactly that has happened to him. First of all, he's writing this letter from prison. He had been beaten, misrepresented, persecuted, and maligned. And why? Because he said yes to Jesus. Because he said, "Yes, Jesus, I will follow you wherever you want me to go. I will speak whatever you would have me speak. I will declare the gospel of Jesus Christ." See, following Jesus does not always assure us of safety and comfort. But what it does guarantee us is fruitfulness and significance. Listen to what he's saying here. He was confident because he knew that anything that the enemy tried to do to stop the plan and purpose that God had for his life, not only would it fail, but God would actually turn it and use it to bring forth more fruit. He says, "You threw me in jail, but God's using that to bring forth more fruit." See, everything that the enemy puts in our way, God has this incredible power to use it. Instead of the garbage that Satan wants it to be, he uses that fertilizer to bring more fruit from our lives. He takes what the enemy cast at us and he uses it for fuel for the fire of God's purpose in our life. Now, if we are going to experience this abundant life, this extraordinary life that Jesus is promising us, We have to come with the same mindset that Paul had. And that is this, that the objective of our following Jesus cannot be our personal pleasure and happiness. It must be the fulfillment of God's purpose in our lives. But please don't hear me as saying what I'm not. Do not get the wrong message. I'm not telling you, buyer beware. If you say yes to Jesus, your life is going to be nothing but gloom, despair, and void of all delight. Nothing could be farther from the truth. A matter of fact, Susan and I often have to pinch ourselves about the goodness of God in our lives. We've said to ourselves jokingly, but hey, it's true. We feel at times that we experience more joy in 5 minutes than most people experience in an entire lifetime. See, here's the, you know, it blows my mind when people say things like, well, you don't know all the things that I would miss out on if I truly said yes to Jesus, if I truly followed him with everything that was within me. See, here's the beautiful thing about following Jesus and saying yes to him all the time. You do not have to run after earthly pleasures because the goodness of God is chasing after you. As the psalmist says, in your presence, God, is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Amen. But we also must also understand that Jesus doesn't lead us based on what will be easiest and most comfortable, but in the way that will be most significant and fruitful, because our destiny is extraordinary, not comfortable. Jesus says in John 15, 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Jesus gives us such encouragement in these words. Listen, Jesus doesn't just promise us that we will have significance, that we will have fruit from our life, but that our fruit would remain. This is a big deal. Because the longer you live, the more you realize there's not much that remains. Good times pass, applause fade, physical things decay, our bodies fail, worldly pleasures are the worst. Because the fun only lasts for a while, but the consequence is much, much longer. In a lot of things that are actually good in life, even those are only for a season. But every bit of fruit that is produced through our obedience, through us saying yes to Jesus, it has no shelf life. It remains forever. And here's something else extraordinary about true spiritual eternal fruit. It's not just that it's out there and it's never going to die, even throughout eternity, but it continues to reproduce. That long after we paid the price, so to speak, long after our obedience is done, the work is done, it keeps reproducing and paying eternal dividends. It never stops. I've got an amazing testimony of how this works. Some of you may have heard me preach in the past and tell about how when I was a teenager, my two older brothers and I were in a car accident which took their lives. And how my parents, rather than growing bitter, used this extraordinarily painful opportunity to demonstrate the goodness and the love of God and to present the gospel of Jesus Christ, and saw multitudes of young people come to know Jesus. And there's even more to that story, though. My parents were always givers to the work of God. And one of the places that they would give was this Christian Bible camp in Recife, Brazil, the Word of Life camp. And at the time of the accident, the camp was in extreme need for a swimming pool. I don't know a lot about Recife, Brazil, but one thing I do know is hot. And everybody knew that a pool would be a great draw to bring people in, to bring kids in, where they could ultimately hear the gospel that could change their life. So in obedience to what they felt was a yes to Jesus, they decided that they would build a memorial pool, the Dan and Dale Parsons Memorial Pool, there at the camp in Recife, Brazil. Only God in eternity will tell us how many lives were touched through this camp and through this obedience, but I want to share a couple. It was years later when I was visiting back at my parents' house, and I was sitting at their kitchen table when across from me there was a young man named Telemaco. And Telemaco was a Brazilian pastor visiting the United States. It began to blow me away as I heard him testify. When I was a young boy, I had no desire for God. I had no purpose for God. But there was this camp in Recife, Brazil that had a swimming pool. And I went there, and there Jesus saved me. He changed me. And he later called me into the ministry. And now for decades, him and his wife have been faithfully serving God. The fruit just keeps on reproducing and reproducing. But this was a gift, and I'll explain this later. It gets even more extraordinary and long-reaching. It was, and mind you, this was 40 years ago. But it was only a couple weeks ago when my brother, who lives in Seattle, Washington, was making a sales call on a doctor who just happened to be Brazilian. And as they began to talk, it became obvious that they were both Christian, and she began to tell her testimony of how when she was a little girl, she went to this Word of Life camp in Recife, Brazil, and she gave her life to Jesus, and she's been healing bodies and preaching the gospel for decades now in the name of the Lord. See, my parents now are in their late 80s, and I believe God gave this gift of this experience of hearing this lady's testimony to let them know it was worth it. It was worth it. When you said yes 40 years ago, it's still bearing fruit, and it will bear fruit for eternity. And I want to tell you here today, there is no yes that you will give that won't keep on bearing fruit, that won't keep on doing extraordinary things, far beyond anything we could ask or even imagine. In following Jesus into the abundant life, there are certain things we need to expect. One, we need to expect to work. See, this is common sense, right? Almost goes without saying that if we expect to get ahead in our career, if we hope to excel at really anything, we've got to put the work in. And it's the same in the kingdom of God. Jesus makes it perfectly clear in Matthew 9:37. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And you know why Jesus calls it work? Because it is. He's not trying to trick anybody. But make no mistake, it's God who brings the increase. He is the one who does extraordinary things with our work. But it is still our responsibility to show up for work every day. What does that mean? And again, I'm hoping to free you up a little bit. The work of God is simply seeing the need that is in front of us and caring enough and being willing to put forth whatever time and effort it would take to actually make a difference. See, the work of God is not this thing, how many hours did I put in? How much did I suffer? The work of God is simply being available to say yes to him in whatever situation he puts before you. In whatever simple say yes you make, that is what it's going to be fruit. We don't get brownie points for how many meetings we go to, for how many groups we're in, all these other things. What we get eternal reward and fruit from is when we say yes to the person who is in front of us who needs a touch from Jesus Christ. Something else that should not surprise us when we choose to say yes to Jesus is that we will inevitably face resistance and hardship. Now, I know that sounds uninviting, but let me encourage you today with two things that I think this should more than motivate us to say yes anyway. One thing, and I'll get into this a little bit deeper in a moment, is there's a reason why we face resistance. There's a purpose. And the other thing is we can rest assured that no matter what it costs us, what it takes, saying yes to Jesus will always be worth it 1,000 times over. So why do we experience resistance? Because when we say yes to Jesus, we set ourselves in direct opposition and in conflict with the other character that we read about in John chapter 10, the thief, the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. When we say yes to Jesus, we're saying yes to his purpose, which 1 John 3 tells us, for this is the purpose of God. He was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Listen, saying yes to Jesus isn't always about living in sunshine and rainbows. It's really about us saying yes to go with Jesus into the darkest places and take back everything that the thief has stolen. And I wish I could say it's easy. I wish I could say that we could just show up in people's lives and because we have good intentions, all the bondages of their lives are going to be broken, that the blinders and the darkness is going to fall from them, and all the while the enemy is just going to stand idly by. But that would not be true. But here is the good news again. Do you realize the Bible, the gospel, it's always good news. Even when the devil tries to bring bad news, God has something good to counteract that. And here's the good news, that though the enemy has weapons and his efforts can make things difficult, he loses. Amen. He loses. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We have a secret weapon, and it's our yes to Jesus, because our yes to Jesus cannot be stopped from the purpose that God has ordained it for, the fruit that it was meant to bring forth. See, Paul understood this perfectly. He's like, the enemy may put me in prison. He may try to chain me, but he'll never chain my purpose. He may try to chain me, but he cannot change the word of God and the fruit that God has ordained to bring forth from it. 2 Timothy 2, 8 through 10 says this. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer as an evildoer, even to the point of chains, but the word of God is not changed. Therefore, I will endure all things. Why? For the sake of the elect, for the sake of the lost, for the sake of the perishing, for the sake of those who need Jesus, that they also may come to eternal salvation through Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to give one more way that God multiplies the fruit of our obedience. That when we say yes to Jesus, it not only brings fruit from it, but how that is multiplied. And that is in the confidence of others to say yes to Jesus as well. Verse 14, and because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear. Listen, true faith and obedience are contagious. There are a multitude of believers in this church, and I believe throughout other churches, that are just waiting to see someone who will truly say yes to Jesus, regardless of the consequences, regardless of the cost. That they would have somebody as a testimony of what an extraordinary life really looks like. And I think they will hop right on board. It's contagious. I have to also say this. It's sad, but most people, even Christians, reach a point in their life where they give up on the idea of extraordinary. But I think a lot of the reason that this happens is because we mistake being extraordinary with an extraordinary life. See, the onus of an extraordinary life is on God, not on us. I realized long ago I'm not that extraordinary, but there is one who is, and he can do exceedingly abundantly beyond anything I can imagine if I will just simply respond with a yes to him. And I want to encourage you today, don't look at what you're capable of, look at what God is capable of. And I promise you, it is extraordinary. I want to use the rest of our time here this morning to give testimony to what this has looked like in Susan and I's life. What yes to Jesus has looked like. It was about 20 years ago when Susan and I and our two young boys said yes to Jesus to go and to start a work in the inner city. It wasn't long after we began this work where we met a woman named Sylvia who had three kids, and this woman's life knew pain and suffering like nobody we had ever met. But by the grace of God, and through her own words and testimony, said, "I have found a love that I never knew existed." And she gave her heart and life to Jesus Christ. But unfortunately, it was just shortly after that it was discovered that she had terminal cancer and was given only a few months to live. Susan and I's yes in this situation started simply, and it usually does. The extraordinary doesn't look extraordinary at the start a lot of times. Our yes was simply bringing meals to the family and picking up the kids for church. But it was one Wednesday night as we drove in to pick up the kids for church when I had what I can only describe to you as a vision. And as Rachel, the oldest, got into our car, it was as if there was a glow about her, and I heard the voice of God as clear as anything as I have ever heard. She is going to be your daughter. Now, I didn't know what to do with this experience. Matter of fact, Susan and I had never even talked to each other about adoption, let alone adoption of these kids. So not knowing what to do with the experience, I just put it on the shelf until a couple months later when Susan called me when I was away on a business trip, and she said she was with Sylvia at the hospital and she realizes her time is short and her last prayer is that her kids would grow up in a home where they could know the love of Jesus and experience what she had spent her whole life looking for and never found. Would we adopt the kids? Now, we knew that a yes to her was a yes to Jesus. But I don't have time to go into all of the dark history of this family or the actual circumstances surrounding this home. But we would come to find out that some of the conditions these children had experienced were absolutely horrifying. It was shortly after our decision to adopt these children that Rachel, in a counseling session, it was discovered that the biological father of the two youngest children had been abusing her in ways unspeakable since the time she was 5 years old. It was already clear that any sense of innocence and boundaries had been destroyed in this young girl, but now we understood why. We already knew that she had a severe head trauma, which had physical and cognitive issues, but this threw a whole new dimension into the mix. It was also clear that the youngest had suffered neglect and possibly abuse. All of a sudden, there became every reason why bringing these children into our home would be a big mistake. The voices got really loud. Things like, how you have two young boys, 10 and 12. How could you ever bring a girl into this home? It will destroy them. Things like, well, what if she falsely accuses your husband? You will destroy your family. But the truth is, it wasn't about the arguments. It was about what was it that Jesus had called us to say yes to. We were sure that he had called us and that these were his precious children, and he knew them by name. But I need to be honest with you that at that time in our lives, we probably didn't fully understand the message that I'm giving you today. You see, I felt like my yes to Jesus would neglect or would negate the arguments. That, think of it, God made it so clear about what his purpose was, what his will would be. Certainly he would work everything out and it would turn out like some kind of fairy tale. We thought that yes to God would compensate for the years of neglect and abuse, the generational curses. But the truth is, our yes did not negate the consequences of past decision. And what we had hoped would unfold beautifully turned into the hardest, most grueling thing we have ever experienced in our lives. It wasn't just the physical aspects, which would have been enough on their own, but it was the spiritual darkness, the bondage, the pain, the suffering, the hurt, the wounds that made it almost unbearable at times. Susan and I would literally spend hours on our face before the Lord, interceding, crying out that God would break these strongholds, that he would set these kids free. But as sad as it was, after 6 years of loving Rachel as best we could, sparing no expense spiritually, financially, emotionally, she walked out our door seemingly as broken as when she came in. It was 6 years ago when Rachel was at her worst, addicted to heroin and meth, when she called and informed us that she was pregnant. This was always one of our grave fears, because the last thing we wanted to see all of this pain and suffering passed on to another innocent child. But actually, by God's grace and the way he works, she was put into custody and she was held in a 24-hour care facility until the birth of the baby. And there we went to see her shortly after the birth, and she could only leave with our supervision and only for a few hours. But I'll never forget how Susan and her went into a store and I was holding this precious little baby. And if any of you have ever held a 2-week-old baby, you know there's nothing more innocent and nothing more vulnerable. As I cried out to God, God, you have to do something. What chance does this child have? Well, we went home back to Charlotte. They were in Oregon, and I'm going to make a very long and miraculous journey short. But it was only a few months before Rachel ran from the care facility in the custody with the child and called and said, would you come out and get the baby? I do not want her to go into the system. So not knowing what that meant for us or the child, we just simply said yes. And again, a long story, beautiful, glorious story made short. That beautiful baby girl whose name is Luna is with us to this day and is now a 5-year-old, our adopted daughter. And when I think about the times that I was on my face crying out before the Lord, God, bring forth fruit. Break the bondage of this, of generations of sin and pain and suffering. My heart now rejoices as I see this little girl who you will see running through here, probably with praise on her lips, with as much of the favor of God as I have ever seen on anyone. A girl who at 5 years old will go into the darkest places of this city and share the love of Jesus, boldly proclaiming who Jesus is. All I can do is say, what a God. Nothing less than extraordinary. And I'm going to cheat a little bit here, even though the clock is going red. But don't think for a minute that all of the love and the word that went into Rachel ever stopped working. I can tell you today that yes, there was consequences. But I can also confidently tell you today that she has been born again. And get this, God has used her in ways and brought forth fruit in places that you would think I'm making up. So I'm going to share one with you. It was just a couple months ago when we called Rachel on the phone, and there was a friend there. And this friend heard that it was us, and she just had to grab the phone away from Rachel, and she says, I just got to tell you what Rachel has meant for my life. See, this friend had met Rachel in prison. It was an interesting thing, but whenever Rachel went to prison, and it was more than once, she would get right. She would ask for Christian books. She would start reading her Bible. And one of the times, she told this girl, it's the word of God that can change your life. So this girl began to read the Bible. She taught her how to worship. And the girl, this friend would testify right there on the phone that I'm saved. I found God through the word of God. I learned how to worship. I'm clean. I'm sober. And I'm leaving for Jesus. See, this is what I'm trying to tell you. Our yeses may not look anything like we think they're supposed to. It may not be pristine. They may not even be explainable. But I can guarantee you this, our yeses will always be fruitful and they will always be extraordinary. So what I have to say to every one of us here today is, are you in?
Hey, if you enjoyed today's podcast, click that subscribe button, share this podcast on social, or even take a screenshot from your story and tag us. We'd love to hear how the Lord is using this podcast to bless your life. You can send an email to info@visionchurch.com, or you can DM us on social with a story of how God is moving in your world. Also, we'd like to thank those who invest in our ministry financially. It's because of your sacrifice that we are able to publish this every week. If you would like to join in giving to our ministry, you can click the link in the description or visit visionchurch.com and click the Give tab. Thanks again for listening. God bless.